Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Jake Barnes responded to Nick Carraway's initial overture.
I would sooner swim the Marne.
Introducing in this episode,
George/Christine Jorgensen, sex change pioneer. She's looked at life from both sides now, and she knows the secrets of the heart, and secrets that can spell trouble. Alan Dulles, CIA director. As first director of the Central Intelligence Agency, he has ambitions to control the world, if he can control his own associates.
Nicholas Carraway, Department of State, Washington, D.C. To Mr. Alan Dulles, Director, Central Intelligence Agency, January 30, 1953. Dear Alan, I wrote Barnes as per our discussion. Enclosed, please find a copy of his response. He's a bit talkier than General McAuliffe at Bastogne, but not by much. This may be the wrong way to get to someone like Barnes. The idea is to use important journalists to shape opinion in France. Barnes is our man, but we're not going to get to him just by waving the flag. I don't know much about Europe, but I read Barnes' book, A Lost Generation, and I guess all of us followed the reporting he and Morrow did during the war. This is a tough, independent-minded guy. I'm not sure I'm the best man for this job. Don't you have any contacts who are closer to Barnes? I know he's on the board of Encounter, which is a leftist intellectual magazine edited by a guy named Irving Kristol. Maybe Kristol could help us. Or I'd be glad to take another stab at him, but next time, let me use my own approach. Yours, Nick.
From the desk of Alan Dulles, by special courier, February 2, 1953. Carraway, we don't have any connection with Kristol or anyone else at Encounter, so you're our man. Europe is crucial to our goals. Barnes is the key to setting that up. He's the most authoritative voice in our European press corps. People listen to what he has to say, and I'm counting on you to make sure he says the right things. I've got the feeling Barnes may know things he shouldn't, but we don't know what or how much. Is his head on straight? Can he cause problems? Does he have beans to spill, and is he likely to spill them? Sure, try Barnes your way. You're the ad man. Sell him. And didn't you write a book once, too? Give him the old literary brotherhood. Make it work, Nick. We need to start shaping opinion now. Dulles.
Miss Christine Jorgensen, Royal Hospital, Copenhagen, Denmark. 3 February. Dear Jake, language, language. Remember, I'm a lady now. Thanks for your note. Yes, I'm fine. Sore as hell, but fine, more than fine, wonderful. Terrified, but wonderful. So much to get used to. I keep bursting into tears, and I'm not even unhappy. I'm ecstatically happy. I wish I knew what the hell was going on. It has been the most extraordinary journey, and I am just now arriving on the shores of an amazing, exotic land. I always assumed, vaguely and romantically, that once I crossed that border, I would be truly at home, and I'd feel at home right away. And in a way, that's true. My body fits me now as it never did before. All the parts feel right. But what else fits? I used to love playing dress-up when I was little. Drove my dad crazy. And for the past year or so, as I started trying to prepare myself for this leap into the unknown, I dressed more and more the way I wanted to be. But in a way, it was still playing dress-up.
Now it's real. And it's scarier than I thought it would be. Now I have to get it right. Everyone will be looking at me, looking for any mistake. But you, Jake, you have demons of your own, don't you? Despite being the gruff old bear who walks by himself and doesn't need anything from anybody. But I wonder, sew it back on. To you? What an idea! Well, Jake, dear, if you don't mind taking a gift from a lady, you're more than welcome to mine. It may smell a little of formaldehyde, but I wonder. I'll put you in touch with Dr. Hamburger. Warmest regards, Christine.
Nicholas Carraway, Department of State, Washington, D.C., February 2nd, 1953. Dear Mr. Barnes, the Marne can be pretty damn chilly at this time of year. Let's see if we can't find another way. I think I made a bad start, and I apologize for that. I'd like to excuse my clumsy approach by pleading new boy jitters. I've just come on board here at State, and I'm trying to find out how I fit in. The first months of a new administration are more chaotic than I'd imagined, and we're all feeling our way along. I don't even know where the men's room is yet. As I mentioned in my first letter, I'm a great admirer of your writing. A Lost Generation felt like what Paris in the 20s must have been. It's a hell of a book, real thing. And your dispatches from Europe during the war and since are better than anyone alive is doing. It's all given me the illusion of knowing a bit about you, and, of course, you know nothing at all about me, so I'll give you an autobiographical sketch by way of an introduction, if you'll indulge me. I'm a bit of a writer myself. When I was a young man, I lived for a season on the eastern seaboard among people who were privileged and careless and very rich. I grew up in the Midwest, and the Northeast had an irresistible lure to a boy lying on his bed looking out over twilight cornfields and cattle pastures and dreaming of the center of the universe. The Great War intervened, and with a minimum of reflection and an excess of romantic impulsiveness, I joined the Norton Harge Ambulance Service under the French. Then, when America got into the war, I signed up for a crash course in Serbo-Croatian language and found myself assigned to General Pershing's staff as a translator-interrogator. I was close enough to the action to hear and smell it, but I never really had the chance to test myself under fire. But New York was still there after the armistice. I took a small cottage that summer on Long Island, from which I commuted to a brokerage firm on Wall Street. I wanted to be rich and careless like the people in whose circles I managed to move with diminishing comfort during that summer and autumn in the 20s, most especially my immediate neighbor and friend, a man named Gatsby. But Gatsby died, well, was murdered, and my romance with a lady golfer soured, and finally I had to face the fact that I was out of my element there. And so I came back to the Midwest, where I've lived ever since. I tried my hand at a few different careers. My family's hardware business was the first one, but I was no more suited to it than I'd imagined I would be. I wrote a novel, drawn from my experiences in the East, which brought me a brief flare of literary success. I parlayed that into a stint as a journalist at the Chicago Tribune, but soon discovered there were men such as yourself who were much better at it than I. Then a man I'd known at Yale struck up a conversation on the golf course one afternoon that led to our opening an advertising shop in Chicago. Taylor and Carraway today has branches in Minneapolis and Milwaukee, in addition to the home office on Fair Street, with billings of over $6 million. We even handled a piece of the Eisenhower campaign, and I spent some time with Alan Dulles, whom I had known in France in 18. Dulles asked me if I'd be interested in a stint of government service when I took office. He was very confident about that. I told him I'd think about it, and next thing I knew, I had a job in Washington and a leave of absence from the firm. So, here I am, with an office in Foggy Bottom, and not the foggiest idea what I'm doing here, other than trying to do a bit of good in terms of selling the American message abroad and helping the Europeans to understand what we're all about. It will be a great help to me if I can mine the brains and experiences of men like you, who have lived abroad long enough to have a European's view of what it is that America represents. but I'd be dissembling if I didn't add that in your case, the motivation is more personal. As I've said before, I'm a great fan of your writing. I have a copy of A Lost Generation here in my Washington office, and as much as anything else, I'm frankly hoping to take advantage of the cachet of my moment in the halls of power to strike up a correspondence with one of my literary heroes. This has been more long-winded than I ever intended. If you're still reading at this point, I hope we can start from scratch and keep in touch. Very truly yours, Nicholas Carraway.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Ally McGraw as Christine Jorgensen, and Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles. Tune in next time to hear Ronnie Gilchrist say,
"The strangest thing, I got a letter from Senator McCarthy's committee asking me to come and testify."